Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, let's get right into the two guys who are commanding the most attention and their absence, whether it's significant or not. And look, we understand it's the 1st of June and it's a long time before training camp, and certainly it's not even mandatory. Voluntary means something. But Jalen Johnson and Nate Davis, for the second week in a row, were not there. I personally think, Dan, that the Jalen Johnson situation bears monitoring closer and maybe a sign of something deeper potentially than Nate Davis. I don't know what the Nate Davis absence implies, but I don't think you sign a $30 million contract, commit to a team, and then you flake out on them because you're going to hold out a training camp. I don't think that's a possibility with him based on intel in Tennessee, the people that I've talked to who knew him while he was a Titan. That would be out of character for him. Jalen Johnson, I don't want to say or question his character, but I do think we have to remember he is in the midst of a contract negotiation. And to me, everything that he says, everything that he does or doesn't do is related to that contract negotiation. And I think that because of that, and because of the Bears' recent history in contract extensions with key prime, premier defensive players not going well, that's why I think it's newsworthy at this point in time.
I think it's okay for you to raise the question, you know, and try to figure out what is behind this. But then you hear from Jalen in his own voice on ESPN on Thursday morning, talking with Keyshawn, Jay, and Max, and sort of explaining his absence in a way that debunks some of the speculation that we've been having about his contract potential discontent or whatever it may be. The word from Jalen himself is that he will be back at the third week of organized team activities next week, back on the practice field the next time that the curtain lifts for the media next Wednesday, back for the mandatory mini camp the week following that. And hopefully this is all just a small little flare up in the spring that is behind us by the middle of the summer. Jalen's own explanation, David, on that ESPN program on Thursday morning was that he's been back home in Fresno, California, away from the offseason program because he wants to spend more time with his young daughter. As a young dad, he wants to be a family man and be there for his daughter more often in the offseason than he can be during the regular season. And that he's working on some charitable work as well. You can take that explanation however you want, and I'm sure we will get into the discussion here. But he also sort of downplayed any thought and dismissed any notion that any of this is contract related, saying winning takes care of paychecks. And if I can focus on winning and creating sort of the production that the Bears want from me, then the paycheck will take care of itself. So at this point, as we sit here on June 1st, I do not see this being something that becomes a potential contract standoff going into training camp at any time during training camp. I think Jalen Johnson will be on the practice field every single practice that is there to be had during training camp as long as he's healthy, and that we'll continue to monitor the extension talks. But I don't think that this is going to escalate to the situation that it is rightfully fair to ask whether it may escalate into.
Good. Everybody hopes you're right. Let me read his comments and statement, part of his statement to ESPN Radio, ESPN Television as well, before I get to some thoughts on what you just said. This is Jalen Johnson on Thursday morning, June 1st. I'm going to be there for sure next week. I have a lot of things going on off the field. I have my daughter back home with me in Fresno, California, where I'm from, and she resides, and I don't get a lot of time back home during the season. So for me, the off season is time spent with her to make up that family time, and I'm a big family guy for sure. Being a young dad, I want to be present in my daughter's life for sure, and I take a lot of pride in that. Also, have a lot of things going on off the field. Last year, I was the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee for the Bears, so I continue to live that. That's who I am. I have a lot of events I'm doing in my community back here in Fresno, being part of the church and donating, trying to create fundraising for my nonprofit, different things to tend to with different businesses here in Fresno. Jalen Johnson to ESPN Thursday morning. Okay, so the reason I think that there are people like me and maybe not you who wonder where this is headed still is because the tone that the Bears have set in the way that they have addressed the question of his absence.
That's very fair.
This isn't something that they have explained or provided clarity. And you know what? Nothing to see here, guys. Jalen's spending some time with his family. He has our blessing, and this is what he wants to do. We understand. Instead, we have no comment from the defensive coordinator on Wednesday. We have cryptic comments last week from the head coach. No more clarity yesterday from the head coach. So I think that the Bears, if there is any overreaction that people want to point to by people in the media or fans because of what they didn't get done with Roquan Smith and because of what they went through in season one with Jalen Johnson a year ago at this time, it's partly because of the tone that they have set or what they refuse to provide in the way of clarity.
On this, you and I are on the identical page, because I don't know why the messaging of this has had to be so clunky and so clumsy. I don't know whether there is motive behind it from Matt Eberflus and Alan Williams and anyone else inside the building, but it certainly speaks of a concerted effort to not provide clarity on those things that you just talked about. Matt Eberflus had multiple opportunities last week and this week to say, hey, this is fine. You know, it's all voluntary. Jalen's made a decision that's best for him and his family, and we understand it. Alan Williams, when asked, is Jalen going to be practicing today, said no comment, despite the idea that the media was going to be out on that very practice field seeing with their own eyes in 40 minutes that he was not going to be practicing. Just say he's not going to be out there today. He's not present. You know, we talked about it last week. He's not here. And move on. And so it's always hard for me to interpret these kinds of things, David, because you know how consistently clunky the messaging can be inside that building and how unnecessarily complicated things can get inside that building. And so it leads to these things where you start to kind of see smoke or smell smoke that may or may not be there. And it's interesting because now I think we have to follow up next week with Matt Eberflus and saying, okay, well, Jalen has now explained his rationale for missing big chunks of the offseason program. Why did you not allow us to understand what his reasoning was, given that you most likely knew what it was? And are you okay with it? You know, like I think that's the biggest question is, are you okay with it? And if not, how do you get on the same page with a guy that is supposed to be one of your cornerstone starters at a time when everything that you're propping up for your football team is about culture and try hard and effort and all in and belief and buy-in and all those things? It is very awkward. And I don't know whether it's awkward by design or awkward because awkwardness is what happens.
I'll tell you why I think it's awkward. And you better ask that question next week. And I think that everyone has a right to ask it and to hear the answer. But let me interpret what we can and what I think the interpretation is. They're not on board with this explanation. Because as much as we can appreciate the NFL professional athletes' need to get away from the grind and stay out of the building, and everyone understands that because everyone who has a job and a career for a living understands the value of getting away. Yeah. And we can all respect somebody who puts his family first. We can all respect people that spend time in church and donating to the community and all the things that Jalen Johnson went to great lengths to explain he was doing. So are 84 other guys in the House Hall or however many people are at OTAs this week, have the same obligations, have the same pressures, have the same desires to want to spend time with their family. And to me, the reason it's gotten awkward, if you want to use that word, is because you're a football coach at the NFL level and you understand that people have a lot to balance. And we understand that the Players Association has mandated these are voluntary activities. You know what coaches want? They want volunteers, not hostages. That's a Mike Tomlin line. Every coach borrows it and uses it and repeats it. I don't think Matt Eberflus or Alan Williams, I'm just inferring by the tone and what they haven't told us, care how many responsibilities their players have. They have plenty of time in the offseason to address them. You have an obligation and maybe a responsibility if you're a leader of this team, and if you want to be, to set an example. And you can't set an example unless you're here.
That's all fair. I mean, I'm not going to push back hard on any of that. And I think that's something that, again, for a team that is pushing a certain sort of buy-in and determination and belief, that you have to establish that 1 to 90, not just, you know, 1 through 22 and then 25 through 34 and then at various pockets of the roster. It's got to be 1 to 90 and you've got to roll with it. You know, Alan Williams was also very praiseful of who Jalen Johnson is as a football player, went out of his way to talk about how smart he was and his athleticism and his good feet and how he sees the big picture and how that really impressed him in their one season working together. And so if Jalen Johnson returns next week, practices for the rest of the offseason, comes back at training camp, becomes a productive player, all of this will be rearview mirror stuff that we look back on and go, okay, it was, you know, much ado about nothing. But it is fair right now to question it all. And it's fair to question both sides. I hope that Jalen takes the podium next week when he's back and gives us a little more opportunity to probe his mindset and ask him why, you know, he is exempt from doing the things, as you mentioned, that 80 plus other guys are doing. I hope Matt Eberflus gives us the opportunity to press him and saying, now that we know Jalen's explanation for why he's not here, how do you respond to that, knowing that you have 90 guys that you have to set a standard for? It's all about learning about where the boundaries and the borders and the standards are here. I mean, I'll go back to 2014 and Lance Briggs missed a Labor Day practice for a quote unquote personal reason. And the personal reason was opening a barbecue restaurant not too far from where Jalen Johnson is right now in California. And obviously that was the first sign of a lack of buy-in. And really that was, you know, veteran defiance of a coach that was on thin ice that we didn't really know how thin it was at the time. But look, like, so all those things come into to what are your standards, who's adhering to them, and how do you uphold them on a daily basis?
Because as coaches, you can, you know, yes, as fans and media say occasionally, these don't matter. This doesn't matter. As coaches, everything matters. Every day, every practice, every opportunity to get better matters. That's how winning organizations are built. That's how standards are set. And that's how championships are won. Okay, so we'll move on because I think the Jalen Johnson thing will take care of itself. And maybe it will be in the rearview mirror unless you have anything else to add.
No, I would just say that John Hoke, who you know very well, volunteered after practice on Wednesday that Jalen Johnson has participated in some of the meetings via Zoom, which was a detail that we hadn't had previously. And you go, okay, well, so he's not completely detached and disengaged. And how come no one else in the building brought that up at a time where this was mushrooming into something that more than it needed to mushroom into? I just don't understand some of that sometimes where it's just kind of mixed messaging, even within the coaching staff and within the building on how much they want to have a guy's back and how much they want to, you know, either quell the situation or let it burn. And this is certainly one of those situations where there's more head scratching being done than probably needs to be done.